Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. Happy Easter Sunday, and we're glad that you're with us here today. This is Easter, and this is the Epiphany Radio Program. My name is Deacon Louis Zimlick, and we're glad you're with us here today. We have Bishop Bradley with us. Bishop, welcome.
Good morning, Deacon Louis. Good morning to all of our listeners, and happy Easter. Alleluia.
Alleluia. And we also have Vicki Cessna here with us. Vicki, welcome.
Thank you. Happy Easter.
And Vicki is the Director of Communications down here at the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And, of course, we meet like this usually once a month and do the scripture readings. But it's a joyous day in the church, a joyous day in the world this April 1st. And we're gonna read some of the readings that are read at Mass. But if you haven't made it to Mass yet, if on this Easter day, please try to make it to Mass. It's a very important, the holiest would be, yes, Bishop?
Yes, for sure.
The holiest.
Most glorious, for sure.
Amen. And so we hope that you can make it to Mass sometime today, or think about maybe coming back to the church. If you haven't been to the church in a while, you know, please come back. So if you're interested in anything about the Catholic Church, you can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo website, which is diokzoo.org. So we're going to start our readings for this Easter Sunday. These are the Mass readings, the Liturgy of the Word that is read in Catholic churches all over the world. And our first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles. It's Acts 10, 34, and then 37 through 43. Peter proceeded to speak and said, "You know what has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. This man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all the people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Responsorial Psalm from Psalm 118, verses 1 to 2, 16 to 17, and 22 to 23. "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
The right hand of the Lord has struck with power. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad."
Our second reading, a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. "Brothers and sisters, if then you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ your life appears, then you too will appear with him in glory." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And today we are privileged to repeat the Alleluia for the first time and since the beginning of Lent. And so we rejoice in saying, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
This reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter, verses 1 to 9. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had been covered had covered his head, not with the burial cloth, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture, that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some beautiful scripture readings. Any thoughts, Bishop?
Well, you know, I think the first thought that comes to my mind is, as you said in welcoming us to the program today, this is really the most important day of the year, Easter, and as I added, the most glorious feast as well. It's a joyful, joyful day, because we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus.
Amen.
And yet, when we listen to the readings, and particularly the gospel passage, I'm always struck that at the very beginning, on Easter Sunday, and for a day or two during the Easter octave, the readings are really more or less focused on a certain amount of confusion and wonder and what could this possibly mean? And we don't hear directly from Jesus himself.
Right.
And it's one of the first times, usually the gospel readings are all about Jesus. Well, obviously this is about Jesus,
sure.
But we hear Jesus teaching or preaching or recounting various miracles. We don't hear about Jesus. We hear about Jesus. We
yes.
don't hear from Jesus himself in this particular gospel reading on Easter Sunday. So it's a little interesting to note that, but it's everybody else literally running around. Why was that?
Yes.
What had happened? I mean, Jesus died. He was killed. He was murdered. They saw it. Most of them saw it from a distance because they all ran away and they couldn't bear to bring themselves to be there, except for John,
yes,
who stayed right with Mary, Jesus' mother, throughout the entire ordeal.
Yes.
The other disciples, apostles, ran away.
Yes.
Mary of Magdala, who we hear about today, and John were two that were right there. Stayed with Jesus throughout. So it's only fitting and right that the two of them should be among the first two to at least begin to wonder, what does this mean? Of course, Mary drew the conclusion, somebody had stolen the body.
Right.
Because it was dead. You know, everybody knew what happens when you die. You're dead. You know, you don't come back to life. So this is, it's to use a phrase that we sometimes use nowadays, it was blowing their minds. They
yes, that's
they
right.
couldn't grasp what was happening. So the only human conclusion they can draw is now, not only was it bad enough to kill him, now they've stolen his body.
Yes.
What are they going to do with that? And so we hear the confusion. But Peter and John run to the tomb. Interestingly, because John is the author of the gospel,
yes.
John doesn't even name himself. He just says the other one, right. And the one who ran faster than Peter, who yes. tradition tells us was a little older and perhaps not as much in shape as, right. as John might have been, ran to the tomb. John peered in, waited for Peter, though, because Peter was the one who was chosen to be the leader.
Yes.
And allowed him to go in first. And then it says that John went in, he looked, he saw, and he believed.
Yes.
That's the first.
It's beautiful.
The first believer, really, is John, at least according to John's gospel. And then what did they do? They went back to the upper room and locked themselves back in the...
Yes.
In the door, in the room, until at some point, as we'll hear throughout this Easter season, the Holy Spirit will come and re-energize them and send them forth on their mission. But on Easter itself, the day that we celebrate the greatest event in the history of humankind, we don't pick up the joy yet. Just grappling with, what does this all mean?
Right. And I think as, and of course, we know the story now, of course, you know, with, you know, Pentecost and Jesus appearing to them. But you're absolutely right. Today is a day kind of what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
But what I like the most is that we can put ourselves in all of these people's positions, especially Mary of Magdala, who is I'm a big fan of hers, because she goes there. First, while it's still dark. And many people will say, and the darkness is kind of like, we don't know yet, but it's, the dawn is coming, right? Mm-hmm. And of course she finds, and then she goes and gets Peter and John, and then they come. So I would say, you know, sometimes you could say that Mary Magdalene is the first, right? Mm-hmm. She's the first real believer, you know, because she went there. And whether the Holy Spirit is drawing her there.
Well, she went, so she went though, saying, they've stolen his body. You know, so...
That's
so,
true. That's true, too.
Eventually, we'll see in John's Gospel, you know, in another day or two, you know, where Mary goes back to the tomb, and then there's that beautiful encounter.
Yes.
With the... She sees the man, and she thinks he's the gardener, and she says, what'd you do?
Yeah.
And then the gardener, who is Jesus, just simply says, Mary. Mary.
Right.
And then she says, Rabboni.
Yeah.
You know, oh, my Lord, my God.
Yeah.
So, but Mary still, she's not sure.
Right.
So it really is, I mean, the first time that we see somebody saying that he believed is
John.
Is John.
Yeah. And it's so beautiful, too, you know. And also, you know, not to take anything away from Peter, but they say it's John, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, well, wait a minute here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think any of us can put ourselves, and even those of us who haven't been to church in a while, you kind of think about the other disciples who are not there, right? The other people who supposedly believed in Jesus, they're not there either. So it's kind of like, you know, it's the 8 o'clock mass, right? And there's only three people show up, you know, but here they are. But,
well, not on Easter, though. Our churches are full today.
That's true.
That's a beautiful, wonderful thing. We wish they were full on every other Sunday as well.
Yes.
But we're certainly thrilled to note that, because people have that sense. I mean, the rest of the world perhaps either has made Easter totally about the Easter Bunny,
right,
or they don't even pay attention to it at all. You know, because, right, you know, we're in the middle of whatever is happening around us, but
yes,
it is for people of faith, Easter remains the most important day of the year, and we come to Mass, and
amen,
we should be doing that more regularly, and we invite people to consider doing that as well.
Absolutely. In case you're just joining us, we're visiting with Bishop Bradley, the Bishop of Kalamazoo. This is the Epiphany Radio Program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And it's an outreach of the Catholic Church, and we're celebrating the Liturgy of the Word. Can't do the Liturgy of the Eucharist on the radio, so in order to do liturgy of the Eucharist, you need to come to Mass, you need to come to church. So, and if you are homebound and you're not able to, all you can do is listen to this radio show. You know, call the local parish and ask for the priest or a deacon or maybe a Eucharistic minister who can bring you Holy Communion. The parishes are there to serve you. And, you know, please reach out to us, too. You know, sometimes we don't know, and you need to reach out to us, and we'll try to help as best we can. Vicki Cessna, any thoughts on Easter or the Easter bunny or Easter bunny. Baskets? And
yeah, I was never a big fan of the Easter bunny myself. I was just kind of creepy,
yes,
actually. But I always am tickled by the apostles because they, like you were saying, Deacon Louis, they're, you can see yourself in the apostles because they, Jesus had just spent 3 years telling them what was going to happen.
Yes.
And even when it happens, they're like, they won't, their mind won't absorb that. And I think some of that's because they knew their entire lives would change. And what was that? I mean, how? Mm. And so instead of being joyful, they're scared. And I think they're scared because that was going to change the trajectory of their entire lives. They're going to have to go out and spread the gospel. So they're not ready to do that on Easter. Is there, you know, and Amen. Isn't that like us?
Yeah.
We're just not quite ready. We're just kind of hiding in the upper room.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Bishop, any thoughts?
Well, you know, the very definition of faith, and St. Paul gives a beautiful one, you know, faith is that sure conviction of what we hope for and yet haven't yet seen. You know, it was requiring not just that they had, I mean, they remembered what Jesus said, but it wasn't computing.
Right.
Because it defies human reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're dead.
Right.
But how can he be alive? You know, no. So he meant something else. You know, it's that grappling that's going on. It's going to go on for quite a while to come to faith. And I think to your point, Vicki, it's not easy for any of us to be people of faith. People of faith means we believe what we actually can't necessarily prove or see.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we place our faith and trust in Jesus. We know that his word is true. And he gave the proof, you know, by being alive and spending time with them. And as we'll hear as the gospel, as the Easter accounts proceed, when he actually does come back to appear to them through the locked doors, there's something about the glorified, risen Jesus that's different than when he was before his death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before his death, he was obviously a human body. Fully divine, fully human, but in a human body. There's something about the glorified, risen body that enabled him to pass through locked doors, and yet he could still eat. He asked, "Do you have anything here to eat?"
Yes.
"Let's have some bread and fish." So there's something about the glorified body that I think is still going to a mystery to us, and we'll only experience once we pass from this life into eternal life. So, but the grappling continues, and Jesus gives the proof. Even though they see him with their own eyes, they still struggle. It takes a while. The church gives us 50 days in the Easter season leading up to Pentecost, and it's on Pentecost that we celebrate the fact that the Holy Spirit did come,
yes,
appeared to the apostles, and filled them in such a way with this new energy, this new Spirit of God, to go forth and begin to proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus to all the world. But it still took them some time. What I think is a nice, beautiful, the responsorial psalm, for today's Mass, this is the day the Lord has made. And it's not just that day 2,000 years ago. It's the new day that Jesus' resurrection has brought about. That's the day that we rejoice and be glad in,
Amen.
That Jesus has risen. It's a new day, or we might say a new era, or a new covenant, a new testament. It's the newness that Jesus has brought about.
And I think it's the greatest cancellation of the thing that we all fear the most, which is our own death.
Sure.
Right? So he's proven to us, and I think about that when you talk about the glorified body, that that's going to happen for us.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you think, okay, it's going to happen, but in 3 days or sooner or whatever, however Christ decides, you know, I could be in heaven, just like the thief on the cross, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Today you will be with me in paradise. And for us to be relieved of that fear, even though we all have those fears at different points in our lives, it's Easter is kind of that guarantee that, look at, this is what I had planned for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this time, this period between Easter and Pentecost. Maybe it's to go to church every day. Maybe it's to go to church every weekend. Maybe it's to reintroduce myself to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have the courage to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I just going to continue to watch sports on TV or a lot of people, I talked to someone recently too, who is just so angry about God, but it's really who they're angry at is their father.
Yeah. Sure.
Or a family member.
Right.
And they're taking it out on God.
Right.
And I think Easter is kind of that. Look at, refocus yourself.
Yeah, and not only do we, is it a great opportunity for us to reintroduce ourselves to God, but to allow God to be reintroduced into our lives, into our hearts. You know, we kind of, in a sense, not laugh at, but maybe scoff a bit at the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
Look at their disbelief, and look at their grown men, and they're afraid, and they're locked in a room, and they were afraid for their lives.
Amen.
I mean, they saw what happened to Jesus, and you know what happens if you kill the leader, you're going to come after and try to kill the followers too,
right?
Because what the people who did that were concerned about was that Jesus, they considered a heretic, and so anybody that followed him was going to be heretical as well. So they were afraid, and they locked the doors. It didn't keep Jesus out.
Right. Mm.
And we lock the doors of our hearts, and it's not going to keep Jesus out unless we don't want to receive him.
Yes.
So it's Jesus doesn't force the issue.
Right.
But he will pass through even our hardened hearts if we allow
him. Yes. Because then it's not love. If it's not this relationship back and forth, it's not love. And that's what God seeks with us, is love, this unbelievable love. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts, Vicki?
I think oftentimes, you know, we think of Lent as something that, you know, we either give stuff up or, you know, whatever your Lenten journey was, and then it's over. But really, it's a time to take whatever progress you made or whatever and kind of continue that. I mean, we used to always have these conversations where people are trying to figure out, now, if Lent ends on Wednesday night, can I have my piece of chocolate at midnight? Or, I mean, when you're little, when I used to have these discussions with my siblings, like, then can't we have popcorn? You know, we'd give up popcorn or something for lunch. But that's really not the point.
Yes.
And if you spend a little bit of time every morning reading the scriptures, why not keep doing that? As, you know, you were saying, invite God back in every day and maybe make these 50 days a new 50-day challenge for yourself.
Amen. And also in these readings too, you know, Acts of the Apostles, as well as that Colossians reading, they talk about anointing and they talk about baptism, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that happened last week too, you know, where you had blessed all the oils at the cathedral, And we have all of these beautiful sacraments in the church. Mm-hmm. You know, some people say, well, what's the difference between the Catholic Church and any other church I go to? Well, that's fine. But start somewhere. Mm-hmm. Start somewhere.
Well, and, you know, I think as you pointed out in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, I mean, we do, obviously, these readings don't come in chronological order. So,
right.
You know, the first reading for today's Mass was actually situated chronologically well after Easter,
yes.
Several weeks after Easter, when Peter already was filled with the Holy Spirit and was out there
yes.
preaching, as the rest of the apostles were doing as well, and preaching this good news and beginning to get that message spread. And so, you know, if we read that reading in a way, it's a kind of a condensed gospel. You know, all of the parts are in there, you know, because mm-hmm. it reminded him, what did Jesus do? What did he say? How he told us to turn away from sin and follow him faithfully. And, you know, they put him to death, but he's raised back to new life. And we, too, share in that new life. And that's what we hear St. Paul in that very brief but beautiful reading from the letter to the Colossians, when he says, if you are raised with Christ, seek what is above. Well, we haven't been raised up yet because we haven't died. But we've been raised in the sense that we're in the new life with him in baptism.
Amen.
And that is what tells us that we need to seek what is above. That should be our focus. Now, we have to deal with all of our daily responsibilities and all of those things. But the focus, you know, what's the end? It's like when you're running a race. You know, if all you do is see the pavement below you, you know, you might be running in the wrong direction.
Amen.
You got to keep your eye on where's that finish line again? Oh, yeah, there it is. So let me keep running in that direction with my eye on what is there. That's what St. Paul is telling us. Seek what is above, and that's what will help us to continue to be Easter people.
Amen. So we just have a couple of minutes left. We got about 2 minutes left. Bishop Bradley, anything in particular you want to talk about, or besides Easter, of course, or anything that's going on in the diocese?
Well, you alluded to the Chrism Mass that took place this past mm-hmm. week. We've completed Holy Week, and all of them, we call it Holy Week because we celebrate each and every one of the most special moments mm-hmm. Of what Jesus' Paschal mystery is all about, his suffering, death, and resurrection. And we do that in beautiful ways. And hopefully, to your point, Vicki, hopefully these celebrations bring us to a deeper place in our relationship with Jesus mm-hmm. and with the church, and helps us to really have a good sense of who we are in relationship to him, but also in our responsibilities to one another. This is the day, as we prayed, this is the day the Lord has made. We truly rejoice and are glad in it. And we do proclaim that, alleluia, once again, because we don't have to prepare ourselves now for celebrating Easter. We're in it, and we're always going to remain in it. This day of the Lord will continue to be what we live in, until the Lord calls us home to join him in heaven. And so I wish everyone a very, very happy Easter, and ask God's blessings upon us all. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Alleluia.
Amen. Alleluia. Thank you, Bishop Bradley, very much. Happy Easter, everyone. God bless you. We love you.